Happy July and welcome to the Prepare Podcast. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we meet with women of faith and in ministry to learn from their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings. You might be asking yourself, we already had a July episode. What is this all about? Well, we're coming to you twice this month because we say goodbye to Commissioner Carol Seiler at the beginning of July as she retired, and now we are saying welcome to Commissioner Heidi Bailey, our new Territorial President of Women's Ministries. Commissioner Heidi and Brad Bailey are Central Territory Officers, and in so many ways, this is a welcome home, and we're so glad that they are returning after years of serving out of territory and around the world. Today, Commissioner Heidi will introduce herself to us and share a few "If you knew me, you would know" questions. I hope you enjoy this episode meeting our newest leader, Commissioner Heidi. Hi, Commissioner Heidi. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
So glad that you're here, and we're so glad that you could give a little bit of your busy schedule already to us. And I just want to introduce you to all our listeners. So many people that listen are from the Central Territory, but we have a lot of other folks that are from other parts. And but even a lot of our Central people might not know you, right? Because you and your husband have been stationed around the world throughout your entire career. So even some of our listeners might be like, hey, I know the Baileys. Cool. But for anyone that has not had the opportunity to be under your ministry, could you just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, especially the younger generations. Brad and I are really anxious to get to know, and they're probably saying, oh, really? They're from the Central Territory? Well, I don't know them. that's a story in and of itself. But I'm a Kansas girl, born in Kansas City, and I am the wife of one amazing man, Commissioner Brad. I'm the mother of two beautiful daughters, Danielle and Lindsay. I'm the mother-in-law of, so far, my greatest son-in-law, Jeremy Rowland. And, of course, my happiest, newest title is Nana to Micah and Eli, who are 4 and 7. So that took me through my life pretty quick. But along the way, we've had a lot of twists and turns. And a long time ago, when I said yes to the Lord in Emporia, Kansas, I began a journey that I never really thought that I would take. Didn't know where it would lead me, as faith insists upon. And a summary of that would be 20 years overseas as Salvation Army officers in the country of Chile, and then also in Spain and also in England. Back to the States in 2012, and we've spent the last 5 years in the USA Southern Territory. So we're back home, and I have to say, some people say, oh, you don't know how happy we are to have you. And I say, yes, actually I do, because that's how happy we feel, exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So we are home, and we feel it, and we know it, and we're ready to go to work.
Awesome. We are ready to be led by you and excited about it. So I thought the best way for our listeners to get to know you is for us just to take the method that we've used all along, where we ask our guest, if we knew you, we would know, and we let you fill in the blank. And so we say that, we ask that 3 times, and each time you share a little bit more about yourself so that we get to know you on another level.
Okay.
So we'll just start it off, and if we knew Commissioner Heidi, we would know?
You would know that I am left-handed and I love coffee.
That's me too. I'm left-handed and I love coffee.
Oh, yay. Very good. Yeah. I actually haven't found a lot of benefits to being left-handed, as you can relate to. Just a trivia point about me. But I do love coffee, and most people that know me at all know that about me. It's more that I love the coffee moments and what that can bring. And so it's not about the coffee. It can also be a tea or a Diet Coke moment. But the coffee is the connector that allows you to connect with an old friend, meet a new friend, and deepen relationships along the way. And I think that's what I love about it. You can talk seriously. You can go and be silly with girlfriends. And all of that I attribute to a good cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So it's all about connecting, and really coffee is the perk, right? Mm-hmm. But the Bible says people learn from one another, like just as iron sharpens iron. And we need each other, and we can get in our own little worlds, our own little ruts, and we need to be sharpened by other people who challenge us, who encourage us. And so I just am waiting for some cups of coffee in the Central Territory.
Yeah. And but do you take cream or sugar in your coffee? How do you take your coffee?
Strong and black.
Yeah.
There you go.
Same here.
I mean, I'm a real coffee drinker.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. You know, the people people that don't drink coffee, mm-hmm. when they know you drink coffee and they're like, okay, well, I'll buy them coffee for a gift, right? And they think the only way that they must love coffee is if it's flavored coffee.
Yes.
So they'll get you like a bag of hazelnut coffee. But personally, I don't like any flavored coffee. How about you?
Well, I do receive all gifts. I try to receive all gifts graciously. But now that we're on this microphone and in a public sense, no, I don't like flavors or sweet. So I'm just mm-hmm. simple. Mm-hmm. I'm the easiest to please. Yeah. So just a good dark roast, medium roast, mm-hmm. and I'm good to go.
Great. Yeah. Noted.
Noted.
Okay. Let's see. The next one, Commissioner Heidi, if we knew you, we would know.
You would know that I love the Lord, and that I'm still, after more than 37 years, very excited about being a Salvation Army officer.
Mm. Can you tell us more about both of those sharings?
Yeah. I mean, I don't bring up officership because I think that that is God's answer to everyone's call on their life for service, totally. I bring it up because it was for me, and so that is the life that I have been living. But it's more about being passionate about serving the Lord. And so for me, that has been officership. So I think that there's a place for everyone in God's kingdom and in the Salvation Army. And so we want all of our listeners to know and to understand that. And God is about mission, and we are about being sent to walk alongside Him in the mission that He's already doing. And so for me, of course, that was officership. But the point is, do mission. And do it passionately, whatever that is and whatever God calls you to do. So find some place where God is already at work in your corner of the world and join in and do mission. And that will really ignite the passion in your life to just love the Lord and to serve Him. I like the verse in John 20:21 that says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And it's really that simple. So that's our mission, is to come alongside and to be willing to be sent. And so that's an encouragement for everybody. Mm-hmm. It can look like different things for everybody. And but I'm still just loving being an officer. Strangely enough, I love my uniform. I love to take it off at the end of the day, too. I love to travel in my uniform. I love to just be available to people with a greeting, with a word of encouragement. We are often the recipients of some very, very kind words, where the Salvation Army has touched people's lives. And just to be able to receive that very humbly and to know that this uniform is bringing up that memory in people's lives is a good thing. And I'm just happy to be who I am and where I am.
Mm-hmm. Any highlights that come to mind in your officership that you could share about, you know, those moments where you're like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be?
Wow. I mean, there's so many. And of course, the ones overseas looked very different than they've looked in the States. And the ones in Europe also looked very different. I guess, again, it's mainly in the moments when you're actually listening to someone else and hearing their story and seeing what they are saying to you, how you fit into that. They're telling you that for a reason. But I know that I've just been so honored so many times because I feel like in those moments that this is the army that I joined.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes others see it more than we do. Mm-hmm. And we're very familiar with our army and all that goes with that. But when other people look at us and speak into it from their perspective, that makes me really feel like this is what it's all about, mm-hmm. because it is about others, you know, and we mm-hmm. want to keep that outward look and not just looking at our own little core or our own little world or our own little life.
Mm-hmm. So at what age did you hear that call to be an officer?
Well, I was just 16 actually at the time, and my divisional youth secretary invited me to go to a what was then called an FOF weekend for future officers. And I said, well, I'm not a member, right? And he said, it doesn't matter, just come along. And that trip was from Kansas City to Emporia, Kansas. And so a group of us mm-hmm. went. And that was my significant moment. And when I stood to my feet from an altar call, I just found myself responding to the words to come stand under this flag or by this flag. And I just kind of found myself by that flag. And I was really young, you know. But then everything kind of just, I started looking that direction instead of other directions that I might have looked at. So I think for one thing, my calling changed my direction. And then I went to training young and actually had 2 years of service when I met Brad. So then later we became the two of us instead of just mm-hmm. Heidi Chandler. Mm-hmm. It was the Bailey 2 and then the Bailey 4.
Does someone come to mind, like an officer or a leader that really influenced that beginning journey for you?
Well, actually, I've had many wonderful Corps officers. That particular moment I just mentioned in Emporia, our divisional leaders were Eric and Dorothy Britcher. And I often or always mention Major Britcher mm-hmm. as one of my mentors. We also, Denny and Noella Phillips were crucial and significant in Brad's and my life, married life and going to training. And then different ones along the way, and actually some overseas that no one would know here mm-hmm. by name. And soldiers as well. Mm-hmm. It's not about just being an officer, but it's about people being available to speak into people's lives when they most need it. You do always remember those moments. You know, you don't remember dates, but you remember moments.
Sure.
And I think that's what our lives, our story is filled with, is moments.
Yeah.
And what's so great is that everybody can be that moment for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at the final one. Commissioner Heidi, if we knew you, we would know.
I think you would know that I am really passionate about encouraging women to find their voice as daughters of the King. I don't say that because I'm a woman, necessarily. I don't say that because, as we say, women hold up 51% of the sky. And I don't really say that because my present appointment has the word women in it. All those things are obviously factors, and they're important. But I say it because we were all created in God's image to be God's image bearers. And that includes the 51% of the women in this world. And so I think sometimes for women in particular, that significant reason for being created takes on different forms and it looks like different things. And we can kind of get lost in the original purpose for which we were created. And so it's a very, very sad thing when a daughter of the King loses her voice, or she'll say, I almost lost my voice in this journey. I can't find my place. I don't feel like I fit. And sometimes that happens because we're maybe looking at the wrong things, or we are highlighting the wrong things, even in our corps or in our ministries. To be an encourager and an advocate for women, for me, is extremely important because as a woman, I look to other people to do that. And they aren't all women who do that. But as a woman, I do receive that as a very significant part of who I am. I love the verse from Psalm 68:11. The Lord gives instructions. The women who announce the good news are a large army. And I just love that vision of just, obviously, I'm attracted to the army part of it, mm-hmm. but just this vision of a large army coming up over a hill and hearing the Lord's instructions, and then we receive them, and then we just go out and we do mission, and we just come alongside others, and we might not even know what we're doing, and hopefully we won't know the end result. I think that's where we probably make most mistakes, is that we do something and we already know how we want it to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's giving the instructions, really, that should be pretty hard to do, figure it out. mm-hmm. you know, before it's actually done. I just got a note from someone, and she said, there are so many hurting women out there and in our communities, and they need to know that God loves them, and they need to feel the warmth and embrace of an arm around them, a phone call, a text message, something to let them know that they are not alone. And I think that when we do mission alongside the Lord, we are available. We are inclusive. We are asked to look beyond the obvious. The world sees the obvious and judges. And there are so many hurting people who want to be seen for who they are and not just the obvious that someone sees when they look at you physically. My encouragement to the great women of this territory would be to find out where God is working, already at work in your community, in your corner of the world. Is it a Starbucks? Is it a laundromat? Is it on the street? Is it at your thrift store? Where are the women in your community? Find them and come alongside them and see what they are doing. And find what works in your community. Women's Ministries Department is not charged with telling you how to do that. We are charged with giving you resources to help you do whatever you're doing in the best way possible. So take some bold, holy risks and don't be afraid to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because women respond to other women. We've all failed. We've all felt not successful. We've all felt ugly. We've all felt left out. And when a woman comes alongside another woman, it's just really about the most powerful thing that could move her forward and to keep you energized and passionate about what you're doing. When things don't work out, just keep loving God and keep loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And He will move you to the next place, you know, where something great can happen. I've kind of been lately on a thought process where I end up just saying, just love God and love people. And if you don't know what else to do, you know, do mm-hmm. that. And you mm-hmm. would be amazed at how quickly you will see that that ignites the Spirit working in you, because it's a kingdom principle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the verse that we all know and love that says we must love the Lord our God with all our heart and then love others. You must love others as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I love also Romans 13:8 that says, owe nothing to anyone except love, and love fulfills the law. And it can't get any simpler than that, and it probably on some days can't get any harder than that.
Yeah.
But it's a great reminder that it's pretty simple stuff
mm-hmm.
if we really could just step out and do it.
Now, would you, with your experience overseas, do you feel like the struggle that women face, is it universal throughout different cultures, or how does it vary culture to culture? I mean, that's kind of a broad question, but do you see maybe the better question is, do you see a pattern or something in common from women in the States to women in South America and Europe?
I see much more commonalities than I would see differences. I think the expressions are different. The cultures are different. And many times someone from a country with less resources has less to hide behind. And so there's kind of a brutal, in-your-face honesty that comes forth, and often it's the outsider or the missionary or the overseas person that has to really capture that and take a deep breath and say, wow, you know, this is really powerful. You go very deep, very fast in these cultures because there's not too much to cut through.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you're at the basics of life. And the dependency on the Lord is so needed. There are no options. It's all they have. And so that's why you'll get all of your missions trip people coming back so changed,
mm-hmm.
because they have seen a group of people who don't just say they love the Lord and depend on Him for everything, but they have seen a group of people who have no choice, and that has become their greatest strength. So truly, the weak are the strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the poor are the rich. It's the Beatitudes in real life, and extremely powerful and very challenging.
Mm-hmm. And very challenging for our listeners to hear this and to even kind of start to take inventory and mm-hmm. be like, what am I hiding behind, or what are those layers that we have that, you know, keep us from our dependence on God, keep us from our even dependence on Christian community? That's a powerful challenge, I think.
Exactly. And when you do have what is seemingly unlimited resources, which is not true, but it feels that way, it is really easy to perceive that as normal. So really, there's nothing wrong with that per se. And you're not even realizing like how far away we are from the basics that so many others experience every day. And I always remember that they asked an African man what his greatest blessing was as an African man living in Africa. And he said, "I believe my greatest blessing is that we've always been poor." And then from that, they develop so richly in relationships and in community and in helping each other unconditionally. And today I help you, tomorrow you help me. Mm. And, you know, it doesn't get much better than that, really. And we do see that in the body of Christ. We see that in the church. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's what the world does need to see. I think sometimes they see other things, and they are turned off by that. And, you know, thus we just get back to creating community with a good cup of coffee and loving on people and really just let God do the rest.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said, the love God, love people. Is that how you worded it? Love God?
Yeah, yeah.
Because so many women, I feel, maybe in the States, maybe elsewhere as well, sometimes don't know where to start or don't know what their calling, air quotes, might be, and just don't know where to begin. And that's such a biblical, basic entry point. You don't know what to do. Love God. Mm-hmm. Love people.
That's right.
And see what happens from there.
Mother Teresa said once, if you don't know what to do in life, go out and find somebody that nobody loves and love them.
Oh, wow.
You know? So who can't do that? Mm-hmm. You know, which of us can't do that?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for giving me your time, giving our listeners your time. Is there any last words about you or you and your husband's hope and vision for our territory? You already said love God, love people. Mm-hmm. That might just be it, and it's so good too.
Well, we are just 10 days into the appointment, of course. So, we don't have a little phrase to really offer at this time. We are kind of just looking at everybody and saying, you know, one team, one mission. Mm-hmm. One team, one mission. We're all on the same page. Let's do this together. And so in a kind of a quote kind of slogan kind of way, I might say that. But, but you know, it's more just coming alongside very good soldiers, local officers, volunteers, very committed people in the Central Territory. Several people who have been in the Central Territory for other reasons gave me a few descriptive words about what we would be coming home to. And they included things like, they're not a boastful people. I always felt loved. Best local officers in the country. Great long-term employees committed to the mission. I mean, those are amazing things that, you know, we just want to be a part of and just jump on the bandwagon that's already rolling. And we've just felt such great support and love. And we do thank the Central Territory for that. So we're all in. We're here to do mission, and we're all in.
And we have our arms wide open.
Thank
we
you.
We are so excited to be led by you.
Okay,
by
keep
you
the
both.
Coffee perking.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you again for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you again for listening. When Commissioner Heidi said, if you don't know where to start, start by loving God and loving people, I hope those mental light bulbs went off for so many of you that might be struggling to know where to begin if you felt like you needed a new start. If you ever have comments or questions, you can always write to us at theprepairpodcast@usc.salvationarmy.org. Next month, we welcome Major Julie Aaron, who, along with her husband, oversees the adult rehabilitation centers in the city of Chicago. See you then!